the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Media.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Tuesday morning. You are tuning your heart to the truth with us today. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Collado and David Dawson. Good morning, guys.
Hello, hello.
Hi.
Today is the Feast of the Assumption, so it's a holy day of obligation.
That
so
it is.
So we need to make it to Mass today. Mm-hmm. Just check, a little reminder.
That's right. Check your Mass Times app and find out where you can attend Mass. You just don't go during this hour.
Yeah, okay. just hold off
wait,
if you don't
wait
mind.
Wait till 8 o'clock.
Right, right.
Okay.
Oh, by the way, look, really quick, speaking of Mary, in Hawaii, did you hear the story about the church?
Yeah.
It's
Maria Lanakila.
Maria Lanakila, Our Lady of Victory Church. I mean, the place looks like a black and white picture when you look at the aerial, except for this one little blotch of color. The church was unscathed. Isn't that amazing?
I mean, was there 40 years ago.
Really?
For my honeymoon, we went to Maui.
Is that right?
It's my wife and I. And we went to that church. We saw the big 150-year-old banyan tree, which I think is
it
much
make
left.
It. Yeah. Oh, well to see just all the black all around it and to see it unscathed is just amazing.
Another miracle.
It is another miracle. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And since this is the Assumption of Our Lady, we are going to say a prayer in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Mary, Queen assumed into heaven, I rejoice that after years of heroic martyrdom on earth, you have at last been taken to the throne prepared for you in heaven by the Holy Trinity. Lift my heart with you in the glory of your Assumption, above the dreadful touch of sin and impurity. Teach me how small earth becomes when viewed from heaven. Make me realize that death is the triumphant gate through which I shall pass to your Son, and that someday my body shall rejoin my soul in the unending bliss of heaven. From this earth over which I tread as a pilgrim, I look to you for help. When my hour of death has come, lead me safely to the presence of Jesus to enjoy the vision of my God for all eternity together with you. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Beautiful.
Yes.
I love that prayer.
Yes. The Assumption prayer.
Yes.
Yeah.
There you go.
Definitely. Well, we have a great show for you today. Starting off 11 after, we have some events in our listening area we will give you details about. All of these events can be found on our website at ccmedia.live. What I was thinking of saying was, I apologize, we're not streaming on Facebook right now. All the correct buttons have been pushed. But you know, without a doubt, and I've said this before, every time, well, I wouldn't say every time, a lot of the times that we are talking about Our Lady, things start to not work.
Isn't that amazing?
Properly.
Yep.
I've been calling it for years.
Yeah.
So all the buttons, correct buttons, have been pushed for the Facebook stream. We don't know what's going on. It's just not streaming.
Wow.
So tune to our website, YouTube, Catholic Community Media. You can search that on YouTube and watch us live on there. In 18 minutes, Father Peregrine Fletcher joins us. Today he's talking about Saint Philomena. His book is called My Name is Philomena, A Saint's Story. So looking forward to learning more about this saint. In 35 minutes, Ben Clapper with Louisiana Right to Life will update us, and he has a lot to talk about. And in 48 minutes, Maggie Green joins us. She's a Catholic author, but today she's going to be focusing on children falling away from the faith and how Saint Monica can accompany us as parents. And also she has a book called The Saint Monica Club, How to Wait, Hope, and Pray for Your Fallen Away Loved Ones.
Great.
All right, weather-wise, instant replay for the last 3 weeks. Hot, 101 is the high. Low tonight, though, 75. And 10% chance of rain. Temperatures, everybody in the 80s are ready. It's 5 after on Wake Up.
Mm-hmm. blessed feast of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary. It is, of course, a holy day of obligation, and so I hope that you're able to make it to Mass today. Today's Gospel is taken from Luke chapter 1. Mary set out and traveled to the hill country in haste to a town of Judah, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the infant leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, cried out in a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how does this happen to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For at the moment the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the infant in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed are you who believe that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled." And Mary said, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on his lowly servant. From this day all generations will call me blessed. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. He has mercy on those who fear him in every generation. He has shown the strength of his arm, and has scattered the proud in their conceit. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones, and has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has come to the help of his servant Israel, for he has remembered his promise of mercy, the promise he made to our fathers, to Abraham, and his children forever." Mary remained with her about 3 months, and then returned to her home. We've heard the gospel, and so now we reflect.
In the 6th century, St. Gregory of Tours wrote of Mary's Assumption, "And behold, again the Lord stood by them," the apostles, "and the holy body of Mary, having been received in the tomb, he commanded that it be taken in a cloud into paradise, where now, rejoined to the soul, Mary rejoices with the Lord's chosen ones." In the 8th century, St. John Damascene leaves us this record from the 5th century account of Cyril of Scythropolis. "We have received from ancient and most truthful tradition that at the time of her glorious repose," that is, Mary's death, "all the holy apostles who were then dispersed abroad the world for the salvation of the nations were in but a moment of time transported through the air to Jerusalem. And her body, which had been the tabernacle of God, after the chanting of the angels and of the apostles was finished, and last respects were paid, was placed in a coffin in Gethsemane. After the third day, the angelic chanting ceased. The apostles were present there when Thomas, the only one who had been absent, arrived after the third day. And since he wanted to worship the body that had been the tabernacle of God, they opened the coffin. And they were unable anywhere to find her most lauded body. When they found only her grave wrappings there, and the indescribable perfume which was borne aloft from them, they sealed the coffin. Struck by wonder of the mystery, they could only think that he who had been pleased to become incarnate from her in his own person had become man to be born in the flesh, God the Word, the Lord of glory, who preserved her virginity intact after her parturition. He was pleased then, even after her departure from life, to honor her immaculate and undefiled body with incorruption, with translation prior to the common and universal resurrection." Wow. May we all one day join Mary in paradise. Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sagers.
Thank you, Jimmy, and thank you, Father Chris, and thank you all for tuning in to Catholic Community Radio and tuning your heart to the truth. You know, the Notre Dame Seminary community is blessed to be celebrating 100 years of forming men for the priesthood, and we should pray for those young men each and every day, as well as our seminarians, bishops, and cardinals, and and yes, the Pope, and they are inviting you to join them for the 100th anniversary Rector's Dinner. It's coming up Thursday, September 14th at the Roosevelt Hotel in New Orleans. The Rector's Dinner is an occasion for our community to celebrate with benefactors, alumni, and friends of the seminary, and they will be recognizing a number of benefactors this year as well. Again, the event is September 14th, Thursday at the Roosevelt Hotel in New Orleans. More info, go to ccmedia.live.
Wise investment, isn't it? Very wise investment to contribute to that. Our own Alan Migliorato will be at Mary Queen of Peace Church in Mandeville on August the 24th and 25th, and he's going to speak to parents and teens about the key issues that teens and parents are faced with in today's world. You know, we talk about that with Alan on Mondays, and I want to see him in person. I want to talk to the guy. He's the author of Failing Forward and the book The Manly Art of Raising a Daughter. And on the Thursday night, that's the August the 24th, he's going to be speaking to parents and adults. And on Friday, his talk will be directed to teens and their parents. So the title of both talks will be Raising Catholic Teens, Is It Mission Impossible? I love that. And that'll be from 6:30 to 8:30 at Mary Queen of Peace Church in Mandeville. And that's just off the West Causeway approach. It's easy to find. And once again, go to ccmedia.live for more information.
Yes. Well, the Gala for Life is coming up on Friday, October 6th at Club 44 Champion Square in New Orleans. From 7 to 8 p.m. is a patron party, but from 8 to 11 is the gala. This is to support women in unplanned pregnancies or women in crisis mode. This is for Woman's New Life Clinic, and it's honoring Archbishop Emeritus of New Orleans, Alfred Hughes, who has been a supporter and shepherd for Woman's New Life Clinic since it was founded. The need to provide life-affirming care to women in need is as urgent as ever. The annual Gala for Life will have live music, delicious cuisine from local restaurants, and an effort to support the life-affirming work of Woman's New Life Clinic. I have been to the Gala for Life a couple of times, and I can say the food is incredible. The music is incredible. The items up for auction are incredible, and you are supporting an incredible ministry.
Right. Company's
so
incredible.
Definitely look into this.
Yep.
Yes.
All right. And last but not least, the Feast of the Dormition of Mary, which is in the Eastern Church, the same as the Assumption of Mary, is going to be tonight at 7 p.m., and it's the first Mass that is going to be held at St. Charbel, the Maronite Catholic Church that just opened up on Jefferson Highway in Baton Rouge. Mm-hmm. Join them if you would like to participate in that Mass. Again, it's at 7 o'clock on Jefferson Highway in Baton Rouge. Go to ccmedia.live for more details. 15 after the hour, we're just getting started here on Wake Up.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for August 15th. Today we celebrate the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Today's feast has been observed since at least the 5th or 6th century, but it was only in the mid-20th century that Pope Pius XII formally proclaimed the Assumption of Mary as a dogma of our faith. On November 1, 1950, the Holy Father said, "We pronounce, declare, and define it to be divinely revealed dogma that the Immaculate Mother of God, having completed the course of her earthly life, was assumed body and soul to heavenly glory." The Pope proclaimed this dogma only after a broad consultation with bishops, theologians, and laity. There were few dissenting voices. When did Mary die? Where did Mary die? How did Mary die? Scripture does not give us definitive answers to any of these questions or an account of her assumption. Some place it just after death, but before burial. Others say she did not die at all, but was assumed into heaven at the end of her natural life. What we do know and believe is that Mary shares in her Son's glory. So close was she to Jesus on earth, she must be with him body and soul in heaven. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Yes. Welcome back. You're tuning your heart to the truth. I'm David Dawson, along with Gabby Smith and Damian Calado. And right now we have a guest talking about a new children's book, Father Peregrine Fletcher. He's a priest of the Norbertine Order at St. Michael's Abbey in Silverado, California, which means he's up early this morning. Good morning, Father.
Thank you so much for having me today.
You know, the book is called My Name is Philomena, A Saint's Story. And that's I'm so glad you made this book, especially for kids. But as an adult, I need to read this, too. There's so much not known about Saint Philomena. Can you tell us about her, like, in a nutshell?
Yes, absolutely. Saint Philomena is just an amazing saint who is an ancient martyr in Rome, although she herself was from Greece.
Okay.
And she lived under the time of the very infamous Emperor Diocletian, who was responsible for the martyrdom of so many and his great persecution of the early church. And she was a young girl who vowed her life to Christ and wanted to remain a virgin and for him, married to God alone. And so when the Emperor Diocletian fell in love with her, she herself was from a noble line, and he fell in love with her, and as happened with so many of those early virgin martyrs, she refused his hand and so suffered greatly. And the amazing thing is, under all of his sufferings, the Lord upheld her and healed her, and she suffered a lot at a young age, an amazing witness.
Mm-hmm.
And although she was eventually martyred, obviously her story ends in this this great sainthood, which she takes on, and she becomes a bride of Christ, of course. That she was already that, but that is now fulfilled in heaven. So this is the amazing story that we know. We don't know a ton of details about Saint Philomena, but the details that we have gleaned from the discovery of her relics, her tomb, her bones, a vial of her blood that was discovered there in 1802 in the catacombs of Saint Priscilla in Rome.
Wow.
And then also from certain private revelations which the church has allowed to be told through history, these are the few things that we know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so what inspired you to write about her?
Yeah, it's a really good question. People ask me, why Saint Philomena?
Yeah.
She's not a Norbertine saint, obviously. So it's not so intuitive why I would have chosen to write about her. But when I came to the Abbey back in 2013, 10 years ago, I noticed that many of the converts would stop by the statue and this relic in our novitiate building.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't know who the saint was, and it turned out to be Saint Philomena. And as my early months and years unfolded, I learned more and more about her. I followed the good example of my brothers and would stop by this relic, would pray, and really found myself having fallen in love with Saint Philomena and really sensed her care over my community. And so I wanted to tell her story. I wanted to encourage other people to be devoted to her if they were looking for a good new heavenly friend. And so that was the origin of the story.
You know, when you look at a statue of Saint Philomena, she's got the roses on her head. So, I mean, is that right? Is that what that one is?
Yes.
Right.
Yes. So she's often depicted crowned with roses. As part of her story is that the Lord crowned her with white and red roses.
Oh, okay.
She's known for those two colors, red for martyrdom and white for holy purity. She's
yeah.
a patroness of purity and has helped so many young men in particular who look for her, anyone in particular really, but here at St. Michael's we find that there's a lot of young men who look to St. Philomena as a guardian of holy chastity.
You know, going through the book, I'm sitting there, I'm looking forward to you know, having a grandchild on my lap and reading it to her or him. And because it's beautifully illustrated, you illustrated, and that's a lot of times I talk to people who author children's books and they have another illustrator, but you did that. And I think the other part about the book that I love is it's written almost like little poems, you know, on each page, but at the same time, what you did is you wrote it in first person. And that really intrigued me because it's like, talk about why did you do that in first person?
Oh, gosh, I'm so glad you noticed that. That's super important because I really feel like we have to hear from the saints in their own words. And I would love for children and families, anyone who opens this book, to feel like they're having a conversation with St. Philomena. So she's just telling you her story. You're seeing the account of her amazing life and martyrdom there before your eyes, and you're also hearing her voice. And yeah. I think that was the main reason why I chose to do that.
I love that. I just love it. And then the fact, like I said, that you did it in poetry. And at the same time, being the illustrator, obviously you've got experience in art, right?
I always love to do art, and I really consider myself an amateur, which is one of the reasons why I was very pleased and surprised when Tan was willing to take on this book.
Yeah.
But I primarily, even before being a writer, I consider myself an illustrator, and so I love to write too. So I combined these two things, which I love to do, especially the idea of depicting saints in pictures. I've been drawing and coloring and painting, and gosh, I've been doing so many artistic projects from a young age. And then here at the Abbey, living in a monastery really actually helps to foster a creative spirit. And my superiors have always been really supportive of me, and I'm grateful for that in my artistic interests.
Yeah, well, they're really beautiful, they're really colorful, and then on the page.
I love this.
Yeah. Oh, Gabby, yeah. I'm gonna have to.
Well,
you're gonna have to see this book.
So, you know, as a young girl, I was always looking for saints, like just really cool women saints. And mm-hmm. of course, Our Lady was one of my favorites, still is. But it was also Saint Joan of Arc. I don't know. I guess my parents were watching a movie, a live action Saint Joan of Arc movie that was
right.
really old. And I was like, oh my gosh, she's so cool. This is a saint that young women can definitely look up to, I think. She's so cool.
Yes.
She defeats the forces of darkness and inherited the extraordinary title Powerful with God. This is a saint that needs to be talked about.
Over
I think
and
can
over
be
again,
a wonderful
she defeated
role
it.
Model.
Yeah.
Yeah, and young women need a powerful role model, and St. Philomena is it.
Yes, indeed.
I totally agree with you. Thank you so much. You noticed all the right things. And, you know, St. Philomena, she was so long ago. She lived so long ago, but her story is... it's perennial, and her spiritual battle, her love of God lasts forever. She's, as I've been telling people, you know, on a timeline, she's far away from us, but in grace, she is right beside us. She's very near, and her story is ancient, but still so relevant.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you being a priest, you being at the Abbey in charge of the novices and such, you're a very, very busy man. How did you have time to write this? How long did it take you to write it?
Yes, it took me really from its very beginning. It took me all of these 10 years that I've been here. You know, it was something I started as a novice in my early years, and that's the only reason I was able to get this book done, was because I didn't know what would become of it when I started, but I just began writing and drawing, and then, you know, this decade goes by, and
yeah.
And so that's the reason I was able to do this. It's just because of the length of time I gave myself, and there was never a deadline. And so it was done, and I submitted it. And after a lot of various rejections, Tan took it on. And so yeah, that's the reason. Because of my busyness, I wasn't able to do it quickly.
That's amazing. Are you going to do any more saints?
I would love to.
Okay.
I would love. We'll see what the Lord has in mind, and whatever saints might want me to illustrate their life.
So do we have to wait 10 years to talk to you again? Is that...
I hope not. I hope not. We'll see. Now that I also know how to do this, I've gained a lot of experience. I might be able to... If anyone would like me to publish a book again, then I think I could do it quickly. So I have a couple of ideas in mind, and we'll see what happens and who might take those on.
Wow. Well, Father Fletcher, I'm really looking forward once again to reading it to my granddaughters. I think it's wonderful inspiration, especially all the trials and tribulations that she had gone through, and the miracles that happened throughout it is something that would hold a child's attention easily. You know, I think you did a wonderful, wonderful job with that too. And hey, for your first book, of course, I mean, 10 years in the making, you know.
Well, thank you for your encouragement.
Really good.
It means a lot to me. And I can tell that you really understand the heart of the project. So
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Okay. So tell us how we can pick your book up.
Okay, well, My great hope is that the book is available in local Catholic bookstores who should be able to order it for you if they don't have it in stock already. But of course, Tan Books has it on their website online, okay. And Tan has also made it available, widely available, on almost every online. They're very good at their promotion. So if you just Google, my name is Philomena,
okay.
You'll find a website and you'll be able to choose which one is best for you. But there are so many outlets because of Tan's outreach.
Wonderful. Thank you, Father Fletcher, for joining us. Hey, before we go, we got about 10 seconds. Could you give us a quick blessing?
Through the intercession of Our Lady and Saint Philomena, may the blessing of Almighty God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon you all and remain with you forever. Amen.
Thank you so much, Father. We're looking forward to talking to you again, hopefully soon.
God bless you. I hope so, too. Thank you so much.
All right. That's beautiful. We're hitting to the bottom of the hour. When we come back, Gabby's going to be talking to Ben Clapper. We got a lot going on with Louisiana Right to Life. It's 1:30 the hour on Wake Up.
It is 35 past the hour. You are tuning your heart to the truth with us today. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Collado and David Dawson. And our next guest is Ben Clapper. Ben is the executive director for Louisiana Right to Life. Ben, good morning. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, Gabby. Great to be with y'all. Good morning. Happy Feast of the Assumption.
Yes.
Happy Feast of the Assumption to you, and also a happy birthday to your daughter, Mary Rose. I hope she has a wonderful day today. Just Ben has the cutest girls. I had the pleasure of recording with them before COVID, and that was the best time. That was probably my favorite recording session, was to record with Ben's little girls. So happy birthday to her.
Yeah, she's a sweetheart, and she's 12 today, so happy birthday to Mary Rose.
Wow, big and cool age. I remember turning 12 and thinking I was the coolest cat in town. So she has a great day.
She would tell you she's the coolest cat in town. So
let's
but
talk
it's a great
about
feast
something
day to have a birthday on. Yes, so that's a great day
absolutely
to be born.
Absolutely. Definitely. What a wonderful time. And I hope today is just absolutely wonderful for her. And Ben, I'm so glad that you're joining us today, because we have some things we need to talk about, right? So some updates from Louisiana Right to Life. And I got your talking points. And I was a little bit startled with this polling data that shows that Louisianians are not as pro-life as they once were. That's actually kind of shocking. Can you dive a little bit into that?
Yeah, you know, it is definitely concerning to us, and, you know, especially in the wake of the overturning of Roe v. Wade, a little over a year now, you know, we keep thinking, okay, what can we do in Louisiana to ensure that in 5, 10, 30 years, our laws are still in place to protect the lives of unborn babies from abortion? And we see what's happening in other states. I mean, Ohio is in a life and death battle for their laws in their state. We see that. But we've been watching the polling data. You know, various groups do polling data. We do polling to see what the opinions of Louisiana citizens are. And I'll tell you, it's not looking really optimistic for the pro-life movement right now. Just for example, there was a poll that we did back in 2019 that showed about 62% of the state self-identified as saying that they were pro-life. So that's a pretty good margin. Well, the same polling company in 2023, this year, did a poll and showed the state was about 47% pro-life. Those are people who are self-identifying as pro-life. Now, we all can see that's a big difference right there. That's almost a 20-point difference between the number of people who said they're pro-life in 2019 to 2023. We're losing ground there. Now, I know that polling data, people can often say, well, you know, it's just a poll, but it's kind of consistent across a number of different polls we've seen and watched over the past 5-10 years that the numbers are changing in our state, and it has changed pretty significantly since Roe was overturned. I think that the the conversation has gone away from kind of the legality of late abortion to these kind of more rare cases, you know, issues like rape and incest, but also issues that have been in the news, miscarriage and other things like that. So these kind of hot button issues have really kind of driven this direction where some people are not as happy as identifying themselves as pro-life as they once were. And it's something for us all to be concerned about, again, because we have to make sure that our state is protecting life in 30 years from now, not just today. So it's definitely a concern of ours.
Do you also think that it's also a case of there are no abortions that are performed in the state of Louisiana, so women have to travel out of state to seek an abortion, and that's frustrating? I'm trying to think of what else the problem is as well.
Yeah, I think that when people who, especially in the middle, see things swing one way or the other, they tend to maybe gravitate towards the way it's swinging away from, maybe, because it's seen maybe as one side is kind of too extreme. And I think that has played a role in it. And I think people's thoughts about what pro-life is and the issues surrounding it are, you're right, are focused in that idea that a person's traveling to New York or something like that. And it reminds us that we've got to get back to kind of some bedrock, fundamental pro-life education and awareness, reminding people, you know, why we care about this issue, that the rights of the unborn child matter and they're important, but also that the pro-life movement is pro-life, pro-mom, and pro-babe, pro-woman. We need to make sure that people see what the pro-life movement is doing as we help and serve women through pregnancy centers and adoption agencies. And the focus has gone away from that. Instead, it's been on the controversial side of things. Even in our churches, we need to kind of, you know, instead of being like, well, the pro-life movement or the pro-life issue is something we used to do, that it's something we just re-engage to remind people why we care about this.
Right. And we can't stop fighting just because Roe versus Wade has been overturned. We need to continue to spread that message out there and continue to be, you know, at the March for Life and put out some educational materials. But what is Louisiana Right to Life doing to maybe combat this and put that awareness back out there? Or, I mean, you guys have never really stopped.
Well, sure, but it reminds us, I mean, we're the state right to life organization, the pro-life organization. I mean, if this isn't in our hands, whose hands it is it in, you know? We have to be engaged. You know, I think we want to, this fall, really re-encourage and motivate churches to get back to basics, you know, with education about the development of the unborn child, spiritual adoption, supporting pregnancy health centers. We're going to be rolling out a big campaign in the next couple weeks where we're encouraging churches to put banners on their fences. For example, St. Clement of Rome in New Orleans has a big banner that has a wonderful picture of the unborn baby and then says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, you know, that scripture verse from Jeremiah, and then says, pregnant, need help, findhelpla.com, which is our Find Help resource. So we worked with St. Clement of Rome to put that banner up. We're going to be making those banners available and others like it to churches around the state just to try to get, again, let's reintroduce people to why we're pro-life. In the New Orleans area, there's going to be about 6 or 7 digital billboards that start this week say, my heart, the baby is saying, my heart is beating, mom, you know, choose my life. And then again with a findhelpla.com reference. So we're kind of just trying to go to the community, re-educate and remind people about why we care, why this matters, and why it's important to protect babies and help moms.
So important. And real quick, we have a couple of, well, really about a minute and a half left, but Louisiana elections are coming up this fall with the first race on October 14th. So what can we do as pro-life Catholics and what's at stake with this election?
Sure. Well, just in the same vein of what we've been talking about, you know, these legislators, all of our legislators are up for re-election and our governor's is up for election. The governor's seat is vacant after, because John Bel Edwards is term limited. So it's important that we elect pro-life senators, representatives, and a pro-life governor. And so what people need to do, number one, is make sure they're registered to vote. You can register to vote by mid-September for the October 14th election. So make sure you're registered to vote. And then make sure you know where your candidates stand. And we're going to be putting out information in the coming weeks that allows people to find out kind of how we have evaluated their candidate for state rep and state senator. So be sure you know that before you go to the polls and share that word with other people.
Yes, and Louisiana Right to Life's website is the perfect website for all of the information or questions that you may have. And they also have a wonderful team that can help answer those questions for you as well. Ben Clapper, Executive Director of Louisiana Right to Life, where can we go to find out more information?
Sure. Join us on our website, prolifelouisiana.org. Google us, Louisiana Right to Life, and you can find us, Louisiana Right to Life, on all the social medias. And connect with us there. We'd love to have everyone, wherever they are, to be a part of our effort to defend life and help moms.
Thank you so much for being with us. I know this was a difficult topic, but one that we actually had to talk about. So thank you so much for all of the work that you do. Your team is wonderful, never stops working and fighting the good fight. Thanks so much, Ben, for being with us.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Maggie Green joins us to talk about children falling away from the faith when we return from the break. It's 45 past the hour on Wake Up.
After the hour, 12 minutes before the top. It is a Tuesday and a happy one at that. Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to Wake Up. With us now, Maggie Green, Catholic author, and of her new book entitled The Saint Monica Club, How to Wait, Hope, and Pray for Your Fallen Away Loved One. Boy, I guess if there was a club to join, that could be one of them, and you'd have millions and millions of members, because we've all experienced somebody there in our lives. And Maggie, welcome to Wake Up, and tell us a little bit about your book.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm not just a writer, I'm also a member. and the reality is, when this happened to me, I started looking for resources on what to do, what to say, how to bear it. And there wasn't a whole lot. There were things like how to get your kid back into the faith. And that didn't quite seem like what I needed. And so I wrote this book of accompaniment over the course of a year, just a series of reflections on encounters both with God and with those who I love who had left the faith.
Go ahead. And so what was that experience for you that allowed you to write this book and share your personal thoughts?
It was very different. I am a writer by profession, and normally I am very voracious about submitting things and sending them out and getting them out there. And this felt intensely private for a very long time. It was unusual. I just started writing them and collecting them. And after a year, I showed it to my mother, and she said, you should send this somewhere. This is important. And so I did, and the person who accepted it said that they also were a member, and that really was how this happened. And it's been a journey for me to after not just the things that I wrote, I learned, but I had to relearn them. And that's, so it's different both as the writer and as when I've read it. Like, oh, I don't think it was me. I think it was the Holy Spirit using my fingers. It's like, I don't think I'm that smart.
Well, and St. Monica, share with everyone a little bit about her. She was from the 300s, and of course, she prayed for 17 plus years for her son to convert back to Catholicism. Turned out to be St. Augustine.
Yeah.
Yeah, very powerful intercessor. She was very pious. She didn't just convert her her son that we all know. She also, her other two children did go into holy orders, and she converted her husband and her mother-in-law. both of whom were very, for the most part, antagonistic.
Yeah, pagans.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and she was. The story is that she asked St. Ambrose to talk to her son because he was a very popular, well-known scholar, well-known speaker, very big into heresy at the time. And the story is that St. Ambrose told her to not worry that the prayers of so many tears from a mother would not be going answered, essentially. Mm. And that brought her great comfort. And the other story I love is about her having a vision of her son being with her in heavenly glory in heaven, and that they could be together and have a good relationship. And by all accounts, they did have a good relationship, even if they did have this at odds about faith. Because he did tell her at the time, well, we could be together if you would just leave off this Catholic stuff. And she pointed out that in the dream, that it wasn't that she was with him, but that he was with her. So she wasn't unwilling to engage, and she wasn't willing to back down, but she did have a very warm relationship with her child, with St. Augustine, even if it wasn't always seeing eye to eye.
Right, right. The prayer part, that's what we always hear. When someone leaves the church or doesn't want to participate in our faith on a daily basis or even a weekly or annual basis, we're told to pray, be patient, and sort of like what your title says, and hope that they will return back to the church. Is there something more than just praying in your book that you can share?
Yes. Well, first off, I want to point out, and I know your listeners know this, but praying is absolutely doing something.
Oh, yes.
God's very, very interested in our prayers and in our being intercessors for those we love. But also fasting, which is an important component of this, and it's very, pick something that, is meaningful in relationship to your relationship with the person that you are wanting to have return. And you have to, and it's persistence, but it's also engaging always in loving this person in all the ways that you can. You have to love this person the way God loves this person, which is you hold feasts, you invite them to things, you bring them, you are present to this person. You have a relationship with this person that is fully vested, where you are witnessing the faith by how much you love them.
Ah, mm-hmm. I like that.
Very much so. Yeah. And you should ask for help in your book. You talk about that, surrendering, but also asking others for help. And that's really the purpose of the club.
It is. Because when someone leaves, you feel very isolated. You feel like you've lost, you failed. If it's a child, you feel like you failed as a parent, but your primary job as a parent is to pass on the faith to your children. So you have that. If it's your brother, your sister, it's a loss of relationship that should be there, and that when we go to heaven, will be there, because we'll be in full communion with God and with each other. Mm. And so what we have to do is show how that the luminous nature of our faith by how we interact with those people. But as for asking for help, praying with other people for those that they love that are missing in the pews, and them praying for you, that's part of the grace that comes through this suffering. That if we share what we are going through with others who are going through this, then we can pray for each other and pray for their children. And that's part of how God works through these moments.
Yes. Well, Maggie Green, thank you so much for being with us, but also for writing this book. I think it's something that's long overdue. So often we just give up on those who've left the church, and we shouldn't. And you nailed it. We should pray, we should ask for help, and we should remember that not only help from our earthly friends, but our heavenly friends. The name of the book, The St. Monica Club, How to Wait, Hope, and Pray for Your Fallen Away Loved Ones. You can find it at a Catholic bookstore near you. Thank you for being with us this morning, Maggie.
I really appreciate you having me. And just remember, even though you want them back, God wants it more.
Ah, I love it. I like that.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
All right, folks.
I have a feeling we're going to get some calls. We're going to get some calls about that book.
Yeah,
I have a feeling.
Yeah. Well, it's easy to find, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Well, since we were talking about St. Monica, why not wrap up with a prayer to St. Monica?
Okay.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Blessed St. Monica, pray with us for all those daughters, sons, and loved ones that have wandered away from God and His church. Take them under your protection and help them always remain faithful to their baptismal vows. Give them strength to walk always in the ways of the Lord, despite the temptations. Pray for us that following your example, we may all one day enjoy the eternal vision of our Father in heaven. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch you back here tomorrow at 7 a.m. Central Time. Johnny Aber joins us. Peter Finney with the Clarion Herald will give us an update. Sister Marjorie Aber with Catholic Charities in the Archdiocese. And author Patrick O'Hearn will talk about Parents of the Saints. Have a wonderful Tuesday. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Media.